we've all faced times of feeling very uncomfortable, of being out of our comfort zone. And sometimes it can be really frightening, and we feel as though we may not have learned anything from that time. And other times it can be really powerful, and it can be when we actually let go of relying on our own strength, but actually relying on God and trusting that He maybe has led us to that uncomfortable place so that He can show us more of Himself and more of His work in our lives. We've been reading about Paul and just his amazing, his experiences of being, talk about being in an uncomfortable place and out of your comfort zone. He was an amazing head authority in the Jewish council. He was very much respected for his knowledge, and everybody looked to him. And then he was righteously putting into practice all that he felt was right, and persecuting those followers of Jesus who, because of those, you know, who he was and he needed to be dealt with. And he was carrying all this out in his safe zone. And then all of a sudden, Jesus took him out of that safe zone and blinded him for a while, met with him in such a dramatic way, and then led him in a very dependent on other people to actually meet the followers of Jesus. After having this encounter with Jesus, he met other people and then went on in a completely different direction in his life. So at any point in that step, in that journey, he could have said, no, take me back to my people, take me back to my people who follow me and trust me and, you know, look to me, and I want to go back to my safe place. But he was willing to be led and to be taken onto this new adventure, and look where it led him. So let's just pray now as we see this next part in his adventure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the examples that you've given us, not only in the person and the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus, but also in the people who said yes to him and the way you led them in your amazing ministry and mission and purpose for your kingdom. So we thank you that this is all accounted for us, that we can read it and learn from it. And Lord, help us to take it from our brains to thinking about it and understanding it and appreciating it even, but taking it to our hearts, to our feet, to our hands, to our wills, that we too want to be led by you to where you want to lead us. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us now in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. So if you'd like to turn to a good page to remember, as Andrew said, page 1111 of the Pew Bibles in Acts chapter 6. And we see here, Paul is waiting on God and he has a vision. So often in the Bible we read about people who've got this vision, and that God wants to lead them. God doesn't lead us on a wild goose chase. He doesn't just leave us to flounder. He wants us to know him as our shepherd, as our guide, as our leader, who wants to show the way, and not only show us the way, but walk with us, to go that way with us. And so as Paul is waiting on God, he has this vision. And it's a bit like Mark's gospel. You know how Mark, of all the gospels, it chases from one thing to another. Then this happens, and then that happens, and, you know, it's one chase after another. Sometimes you can't get your breath when you're reading it. And it's a bit like this here, because it says that when Paul hears that message, at once he gets up and wants to deal with it. He doesn't call a PCC. He doesn't call a meeting to see, well, have we got the resources? Have we got the money? Have we got the people? Have we got the building? But at once he gets up and goes. I think that's a lesson we have to learn. He got ready at once. So he was glad for a direction. He was waiting. He was expecting that direction and eager to get on with it. At Troas, it's considered that Luke joins Paul because the written accounts start to say, we did this. So it gives the indication that we know that Luke wrote the book of Acts. And so here it says, it gives the impression that at this point, Luke joins Paul on the journey. So they talk about going to Samothrace, excuse the pronunciation, an island northeast of the Aegean Sea. It was a good place to anchor. So they got in the boat, they went off, and they couldn't make it all in one go. We take it for granted, don't we, getting in the car and getting down the motorway to where we need to get to. But here, they had to plan their route, and they had to just be patient and get there in steps. But probably those steps were really valuable to be able to continue praying and asking God, Lord, just keep showing us where we're going, what do you want us to do? And so they stayed at this place to anchor rather than risk sailing at night, because it could have been really treacherous. Then the next day they went to Neapolis, which is the seaport for Philippi. And then they went on to Philippi, which was a Roman colony. So they stayed there several days. So again, after this exciting start, he got up straight away and went. But then they had the journey, and then they were there for several days. So there's still that sense of patience and waiting on God. It wasn't just that they arrived there and the crowds were waiting for them. Yeah, here's Paul, come on, come and speak to us. But they had to arrive there, suss out the situation, suss out what was going on and who God was wanting them to meet with. So we constantly have to have that ear open to what God wants us to do, and not just assume things and run quickly to doing things that we think God wants us to do. So on the Sabbath, they went to the river, which was known to be a place of prayer of worship. There wasn't a synagogue there, because a synagogue could only be established when there was a minimum of 10 men. I won't go any further. But there weren't these 10 men there, but there was a group of women. And they weren't deterred by the fact that there wasn't an official building to meet in, or that there weren't enough men around who wanted to worship. But they continued to meet, to worship God, and to pray, and to encourage and support one another. And Paul and his group spoke with the women. And it gives that little flippant sentence. Paul went and spoke with them. Wow! Paul, a Jew, speaking with women, foreigners. Haven't they learnt so much from Jesus about the crossing of barriers, cultural, social, whatever? But they knew God wanted them to meet with these women. And they didn't say, oh dear, we'd better just send an email back and check if it's okay, if we can talk with these women. But they knew that these are the people that God wanted them to speak to. So they were learning from Jesus' example and putting it into practice. So one of these people was Lydia from Thyatira, a Roman province of Asia, in the Hellenistic kingdom of Lydia. So the region was known as Lydia. So this lady may not have been her actual name Lydia, but it might have been her business name, because she dealt with dyed cloth. Because where she came from was renowned for their skill, and it was really sought after, their dyeing of cloth in different colours. And especially purple, that was really sought after. So she was a woman of means. She was a businesswoman, she was a woman of her own means, she was independent, and yet she knew there was more to life than this. It wasn't just a case of travelling, of seeing the world, of being a businesswoman, of having her own place to live, of having her community of friends. There was still more that she needed, and she knew that she wanted to worship the living God. She wanted to know who with the meaning of life. It's lovely, isn't it, that the Alpha Course is called, you know, is there more to life than this? In whatever situation we're in, we know that there's more to life than this. And that's found in the Lord Jesus. So as Paul and the others spoke with them, her heart was open to hear. And she responded. And again, that should be in big capital letters. Because we can hear messages, we can think, yeah, that sounds good, you know, and have a ponder about it and even have, big discussions about things. But she responded and she acted on it. She acted on God's message. And so she was baptized. And again, this shows a woman in her position she was prepared to just go through whatever it took to be part of this wonderful body of Christ, to be baptized, to be washed, to know that she could start afresh. In spite of her being in the position that she was in, she probably had regrets, she probably made mistakes in her life, she probably had things that she was, you know, hung up about. But she knew that here she'd met with Jesus and she could start afresh. So she had that baptism, that sense of washing, of cleansing and of starting again. And she asked them back to her home. And that home would become a new church. Isn't that amazing? There wasn't a synagogue there, but there was a new church of the people of Jesus. So again, Paul and the others stayed there for a while. And in this, they embodied what we read in the Gospel. They embodied the promise of Jesus that all who received him, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, would live in their hearts and lives. We've recently read about Peter visiting Cornelius, the centurion, and later, after this meeting with Lydia, Paul goes on to come across a slave girl who he prays for, and in Jesus' name, she's released from a spirit who is controlling her. And then when he's imprisoned with Silas, they have the opportunity to meet and share the good news of Jesus with the jailer. All these different people, such different backgrounds, different racial, social, psychological backgrounds, but they heard and they responded to the same message of the truth and the power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's interesting at this time that we're reading about these visits into Europe, at this time of European turmoil that we're in now with our country and all the decisions that have to be made, we are reading about the direction of Paul's missionary travels to Europe. We're so blessed that these early Christians had the faith to seek and to listen to God's direction, and the desire and the courage to obey and spread the message as far as they did, despite their far more limiting transport and communication resources than we have. In John 14, we hear about the peace that Jesus gives. It's the shalom, the well-being in every sense of our being, physical, spiritual, emotional. But it's more than the Jewish understanding of shalom. It's more than the world's understanding of peace, where we think that peace is where everyone thinks how I think. If only the world would think how I think, and then we'd have peace. That's the world's idea of peace. But you know, the peace that Jesus brings is a peace that is challenging. It takes us into uncomfortable places, takes us out of our comfort zone. But that peace is constant. It's deep-rooted. It goes right to the core of our being. And it goes right to the core of our church fellowship. And we need to seek this peace, ask God for this peace, so that we can do things that we find uncomfortable, but we may feel that God is calling us to do for the well-being of the church and for the extension of his kingdom. I'd just like to pray a prayer that is for this Sunday. Lord, we put our trust in you, and in you is our rest. We pray for all pilgrim peoples as they journey through this world, for all seekers, for those who search for truth and integrity. May we and your whole church live as those travelling into your love and deeper into your presence. We pray today for places of pilgrimage and places of special holiness of your presence, for all who act as guides to others on their pilgrimage. God, as you call us to you, guide us in our journey. Amen.